Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning again, everyone. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us on our Friday edition of The Opening Bell. Another couple of days of problems with the TSA, given the government shutdown. And more news about international travel in premium business class. Brian Summers is with us this morning for a conversation about it all. Brian is Senior Aviation Business Editor for Skift.com and is with us this morning via Skype from Los Angeles. Brian, let's begin with the government shutdown. Here we are again talking about it another week and more evidence this week that there were bigger problems with TSA at airports across the country.
Yeah, Steve, it's hard to believe that we're still talking about this, but we are. One of the reasons that it's been in the news this week is because Sunday, which was part of a holiday weekend, was one of the worst days of the shutdown. Apparently, about 10% of TSA security screeners weren't coming to work. I guess they're technically calling in sick, although the TSA has admitted that it's very hard for these people to work without pay, and so they're just not coming into the office. You know what, Steve, lines haven't been that long. I mean, the TSA says that most airports people are getting through relatively quickly. The TSA every day is coming up with a list of all the major airports. For most of this week, Chicago, O'Hare, and Midway have been fine. I don't think people have been waiting any more than 15 minutes, and that's a maximum time. People have been waiting a lot less and less in pre-check as well. But nobody knows where this goes from here. You know, with every week that continues with the shutdown, screeners aren't getting paid. They're not paid that well in the first place. And if one day the absence rate is 10%, what will be next weekend, the weekend after, and eventually we could be in real trouble here. There are a few isolated airports where things are worse. Atlanta and Boston keep coming to the list, to the top of the list. So if you're flying to those airports, you definitely want to leave extra time. Atlanta in particular, they're seeing some 40-minute waits. That's a long time.
Yeah, and so the comparison here is it's normally, they say, about 3%. So 10% is a pretty high number. And those airports that you talked about that are having a worse time than others, I know the TSA has confirmed that they have asked employees who can shift around to maybe shift to some of those airports.
Yes, I mean, the TSA is trying to manage this as well as it can, but it's just not an ideal situation. The government needs to reopen for lots of reasons, but air travel is one of those reasons.
Let's talk about another story that's out there. Airline revenue growth in 2019 expected to slow. We keep hearing this from a bunch of different sectors of the economy, slowing growth, slowing global growth as well. How bad is it going to be in the airline sector?
Sure. You know, everybody, Steve, is taking a watch and wait look at 2019. All the big airlines say demand is pretty good. I know lots of people out there are fearing a recession, but it hasn't come yet. United, a couple weeks ago, said that bookings are actually pretty strong. Delta said something similar. 2019 could shape up to be a pretty good year for U.S. airlines, especially since fuel prices are relatively low. The problem is that nobody knows for sure. And of course, you know, all businesses are in business so that they can grow, right? And they can have better revenues than the year before. And last year was a good year. The year before was a good year. So, you know, I could predict that U.S. Airlines will have a very profitable year in 2019. But if it isn't quite as good as last two or three years, you know what investors are going to do. They're going to question the future of these airlines and can they withstand a recession and stuff like that. So we really have to see what happens for 2019 before we can make any predictions of how it's going to be.
Yeah, and I know we've talked about this before, but the oil prices part of the equation is a big deal. You talked about how some airlines were preparing for $100 a barrel oil. It's $53.
Right. They prepared for that oil and then it didn't happen. And that should help them going into 2019, right? Because last year, some of these airlines, we've talked about American Airlines, cut a couple of routes to China from Chicago because fuel prices were so high and the routes weren't performing well. Turns out fuel went right back down, but now American doesn't have those weak routes from Chicago dragging it down. And so its revenue numbers may look a little bit better in 2019 than they would have otherwise.
Well, there's another story, Brian, that you have written about involving Asian Airlines and these super business suites versus first class. Tell us about this story.
All right, Steve. Like a lot of people who work related to the airline business, I love sitting in international first class. It's a lot of fun. It's better than a five-star hotel experience. The problem is it is frighteningly expensive. Of course, I sit up there using miles and points, but if you're going to pay out of your own pocket, you're going to fly from Chicago to Hong Kong, it's going to cost like $20,000. That's ridiculous for pretty much everyone. And so these airlines are having a really tough time selling first class. So we know that United has gotten rid of it in the last couple of years. A lot of airlines are wondering, you know, do we need it? But here's the thing. Business class is a lot cheaper. It has a product that's almost as good as first class. But business class cabins are actually very large. So United has 60 seats on some of its Boeing 777s. And you know, when you're in a cabin with 59 other people, things tend to move rather slowly, and you can't eat when you want, and you can't get your bedding when you want, and you have to wait for things. And sometimes people don't like to wait for things if they're paying $8,000 or $10,000 for a ticket. And so some of these Asian airlines are experimenting, and they're saying, let's put pretty much a business class seat in the front of the airplane, and we're not going to call it first class. But for 4 or 6 or 8 seats, you're going to get a better experience. So you can eat when you want. Maybe you'll get a little bit better food. But we're not going to charge you $20,000. We'll charge you a little bit of a premium over business class so you can have a better experience. But the numbers aren't going to be crazy. And there are a few reasons for doing this. But one reason is even the most profitable corporations really don't allow their executives to sit in first class anymore. It's thought of as extravagant, wasteful. It looks bad to employees. But the question is, can you get some of these CEOs and other top executives to fly in this super business class, the key word being business, and maybe you can still make a profit that way? So in some ways, you're tricking these corporations into booking a special business class for the top executives.
Well, and one of the selling points is that some of these seats, they talk about folding down some seats, and they almost look like little offices, like you can create a little office space.
Yeah, they do. I mean, a lot of this stuff is a gimmick, right? I mean, I wrote about China Eastern, and they have this new super business class cabin, and you can take the two seats in the middle and turn them into an office. It seems unlikely that very many people would do that, but it does look good in the press release.
Yeah, and again, the cost is something that will probably be prohibited.
Right.
All right, Brian, good conversation. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you, Steve. Thanks for the time.
Brian Summers is a senior business aviation editor at skift.com. That's skift, at skift on Twitter. Make sure you sign up, too, for the weekly Skift Airline Innovation Report at skift.com/airline, and follow Brian as well on Twitter at Brian Summers. It's